Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that we looked at briefly earlier, the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians and chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I began a series of studies in this letter to the Ephesians last week. We looked at the first part of verse 1 last week when we looked at the writer Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And this morning we're looking at the second part of that verse 1. It's found on page 976 in the Pew Bibles. 976. Thank you, Alan. And this is what that second part says. Well, I'll actually read the first two verses. And this is what those first two verses say. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, we're looking at the second part of verse 1, to the saints who are in Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. The theme of my sermon this morning is a very simple one. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? Now, in many ways, this is one of the most important questions we can ask, because only Christians, according to the Bible's definition, enter heaven. I appreciate that's unfashionable teaching, but that is the Bible's teaching, and that is what we believe to be the truth, that only those who are Christians, as defined in the Scriptures, as God's Word defines them as Christians, only those will enter heaven. And so it's absolutely important for us to have a clear grasp of this. If you were to go out into the streets of Clevedon, if it was a warm and sunny afternoon and you went to the seafront with people mingling, and you said to people, can you tell me what is a Christian? I expect you would get a variety of answers. I expect people would say, well, somebody who believes in God, somebody who goes to church, somebody who is religious, somebody who reads the Bible occasionally, that sort of thing. Somebody who was baptized as a baby, somebody who was born in Britain. I've even had that as an answer. Well, if you were born in England, you were born in Britain, then you're automatically a Christian. Well, the Bible has a definition of a Christian, and we must go by that, because that is the one that God uses, that is the one that God applies when we stand before Him in judgment. There are four things in that second half of that first verse that I want to bring to your attention. They're all there in the text. I'm just going to take the text one little phrase at a time. Four things that define a Christian. In the first place, a Christian has been cleansed in the blood of Christ and has been brought into the family of God. A Christian has been cleansed in the blood of Christ and has been brought into the family of God. This is what we've heard in our family talk, haven't we? That we are those who were born in sin and darkness. We are those who lived lives of rebellion, and we are those who were at one time members of the kingdom of darkness, members of the kingdom of the devil. And all who are not Christians, whatever they may think of themselves, however they may think of themselves and whatever opinion they may have of themselves, the Bible's opinion, the Bible's definition of them is that they are in darkness, they are in the kingdom of the devil, and they are unclean in the sight of God. But a Christian is a person who has experienced grace and who has experienced power, and God has applied the blood of Jesus. And God has cleansed that person in the blood of Jesus. And God has forgiven them all their sins, all their past sins, all their present sins, all their future sins. All sins have been cleared. All guilt has been cleared in the blood of Jesus. The death of Jesus has been effective for them. Jesus died for them. And Jesus, in dying for them, has granted them forgiveness and cleansing and redemption. And they've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness. They've been actually removed from that kingdom of darkness, and they've been brought into the kingdom of God. The parallel letter to Ephesians is Colossians. And in Colossians, Paul says that we have been removed from the kingdom of darkness. And we have been conveyed to the kingdom of the Son, whom he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So that is the first thing that is true of a Christian. The blood of Jesus has cleansed them, and the blood of Jesus has redeemed them from slavery to sin. And God has brought them out of darkness, and God has brought them into his marvelous light. This is the meaning of the word saint. A saint is not that person who is grade A and we are all grade B, C and D. We are all saints if we've experienced salvation in Jesus. So that's the first thing we learn in this passage about a Christian cleansed in the blood of Christ and brought into the family of God. The second thing about a Christian is that a Christian is in the world but not of the world. He is or she is in the world, but not of the world. Paul says to the saints who are in Ephesus. Now you see, he's already in a sense said to them, to the those who are in the kingdom of God, because that's what saints means. Saints means they're now in the kingdom of God. So they've got a dual citizenship. Yes, they're in the kingdom of God because they're his people who've been set apart, but they're still in Ephesus. And God doesn't remove us from our geographical location. When we become Christian, when you come to Christ and you ask him to save you from your sin, you repent of your sin and you trust in Jesus, God doesn't say to you, vacate your house and move somewhere else. God says to you, you remain where you are and you're a testimony to God's grace and to God's power where he has kept us. Isn't it remarkable that these people who became Christians in Ephesus, God kept them there? Now, we know quite a lot about Ephesus, not just from history, but from the Bible. We know that Ephesus was an idolatrous city. There was this huge temple in Ephesus. And it was built in honor of an idol called Artemis or Diana. They actually had this belief that a statue of Diana fell from heaven and fell in the city of Ephesus. It landed there in the city of Ephesus. And they built a temple around it. And they said, this is for Artemis, Diana. And the people were committed to this idol. We read in Acts chapter 19 of a riot in Ephesus. Because the idolatrous religion of the worship of Diana was under threat because of Christianity. People would no longer buy miniature idols of Diana and would no longer worship that. And so a riot occurred. So this city was an idolatrous city. It was a dark city. But we also know from the Bible it was more than an idolatrous city. We know it was a city where occult was practiced. We read in Acts chapter 19 that people who had been engaged in witchcraft, in occult practices, brought the things that they had used for their occult practices and made a bonfire of them and burnt them. And the value of it in today's terms would be in tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds. It was a huge bonfire of very valuable stuff. So you see, people were very serious in this idolatry and witchcraft. And God established a church in that city. In this city where there was at one time nothing but darkness, nothing but sin, nothing but idolatry and witchcraft. The Apostle Paul visited that city, and under the inspiration and under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, he preached the gospel. He went from house to house preaching repentance towards the Lord Jesus, towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel to them. And these people, many of them, were converted to Christ. And they stopped their idolatry and their witchcraft. And light came to Ephesus, a place where there was light, because those who were now the light of God, those who were the salt of the earth, were now living in that city. They were witnesses. Why does God leave us where we are? It's because he wants us to testify. Do you remember the man who was demon possessed And Jesus delivered him, and the pigs were all went into the sea. And the man then said to Jesus, I want to follow you, I want to come with you. And Jesus said, no, you go back to your city and you tell people of what God has done for you. Now this is a challenge to us, isn't it? That wherever we are to be light, and we are to be salt, and we are to be ambassadors, and we are to be epistles, and we are to be representatives of Christ. And our lives should surely speak of the grace of God and the power of God and the love of God and the mercy of God. So they were in the world, they were in Ephesus, but they were not of the world. They no longer practiced that idolatry. They no longer practiced that witchcraft. They no longer clung to their possessions and the pleasures of this world. Those things now lost meaning for them. They loved Christ and walked with Christ. And then the third thing we see about a Christian in this is that a Christian is a person who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. A person who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. It says to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful. And are faithful. Now that word faithful actually means those who believe. It means to believe. It's the word that is used when Jesus spoke with Thomas. Do you remember Thomas said, I will not believe until I see the nail marks in the palms of his hands. And Jesus said, when he had done all this, and Jesus said, do not doubt, but believe. Well, it's exactly the same word that is used here. Believe. And Paul is again underlining this. And Paul is reminding these Christians what has happened to them. And he says to them, there was a time when your faith was in Artemis. There was a time you thought if we go to the temple of Artemis and do our rituals there and give our offerings to Artemis, then Artemis will somehow secure the blessings of heaven upon us. This is how idolatry works. Idolatry is a trade deal. You do certain things in the knowledge that if you do them well, then you will get certain things as payment. It's all to do with payment. But Paul says that is no longer the case with you. You no longer pay anything. You're no longer trusting in your works. You now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith is in Christ. We are not saved by our efforts. We're not saved by our works. We're not saved by baptism. We're not saved by church going. We're not saved because we live decent, moral, upright lives. Now I trust that we do go to church and we do live decent, moral, upright lives. But those things will not secure salvation. No work of man will ever secure salvation. Salvation is faith alone in Christ alone. It is when we say to ourselves, I no longer trust in my own works. I will not plead my works. I will not plead my religion. But I will plead Christ. Christ alone is my plea. His life, His death, His blood, His resurrection, His high priestly ministry. He is my Savior. His works have secured my salvation and not my works. And these people in Ephesus, who at one time believed in salvation by works and the blessings of heaven to come to us by works, as they heard the gospel, well, they were liberated from it. This is the beauty of the Christian faith. It's so liberating. Because a religion of works is slavery, of course. A religion of works gives you a long list of things. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And maybe, if all being well, you might actually get something out of it. And it's slavery, it's binding. But you become a Christian and there's a liberty there. Because you now trust in Christ. It is His work and His righteousness that saves us. Do you have Christ? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith in Him? Have you repented of your sin? Have you turned from your sin? Have you said goodbye to your sin? And do you daily repent of your sin? Do you daily turn from your sin? Have you put your faith in Jesus? And do you say to yourself daily, He is my Lord. He is my Savior. It is His life, His death, His blood. That's where my salvation lies. I know my sins are forgiven because Jesus died for me. Do you have Christ? If you have Christ, you have salvation. If you don't have Christ, you may have everything in this world, but you really have nothing of eternal value. So a Christian is a person who is cleansed in the blood of Christ, brought into the family of God. A Christian is in the world, but not of the world. A Christian trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And then fourthly and finally, a Christian is in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. This is Paul's favorite description of Christians. In every letter of Paul, Paul describes Christians as those who are in Christ. It's a doctrine called union with Christ. And the Bible talks about how when we become Christians, we enter into this union, into this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible has all sorts of illustrations from everyday life to illustrate this relationship, because this relationship is so important. It is at the heart of Christianity. At the heart of Christianity is my relationship, your relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what holds Christianity together. That is what defines Christianity. A Christian is a person who knows the love of Jesus and loves Christ. And so the Bible, for example, will use the illustration of marriage. And the Bible says Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. And there is this personal relationship. Now you know the relationship between a husband and a wife, one of the finest, deepest relationships there is in the world. Well, this is an illustration the Bible uses. The Bible uses the illustration of grafting. And it says, you know, these farmers or these gardeners, and they're experts at grafting, and they'll take a branch from this plant and they'll take it to this plant and graft it in, and that branch becomes a part of this plant. It actually takes the grafting and it begins to produce the fruit of this particular plant. And the Bible says we at one time were in Adam. We were branches of a tree called Adam, and Christ removed us from that, and we were grafted into Him. And we become a part of Him. And whereas when we were in Adam, we produced sinful fruit, because the tree that is Adam is a sinful tree. Now we are planted, or we're rather grafted, into the tree that is Christ. And so we produce righteous fruit, because we've been grafted into Christ. So you have these illustrations that are in the Bible, and they describe relationship between Christ and the believer. And it's the most beautiful thing, because the Holy Spirit is the agent of this relationship. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And the Holy Spirit ministers Christ to us. If you ever ask yourself the question, why does the Holy Spirit live in me? What does He do in me? What is His work in me? Well, His work can be described in a very simple sentence. He ministers Christ to you. He ministers the love of Christ and the grace of Christ and the mercy of Christ and the compassion of Christ and the salvation works of Christ to you. And He is at work transforming you into the image of Christ. Because one day when you see Him and enter into that eternal fellowship with Him, you will be exactly like Him, because the Spirit will have done that transforming work. So as Christians, we enjoy this personal love relationship with Jesus. You know how much joy a love relationship brings. And it is a joyful relationship, because we experience His love in our hearts. The Spirit pours love into our hearts. Paul says to the Romans how the Spirit sheds abroad the love of Christ into our hearts. And we love him in response. And this love relationship is established. And we understand him. And we grow in our knowledge of him. And we grow to be more and more like him. It's good to examine ourselves with this in view. Because as I've said, this is one of the most important questions that there is. Am I a Christian? Not according to the definition of the world, but according to the definition of the Bible. Am I a Christian? A Christian has been cleansed in the blood of Christ. Guilt gone, uncleanness gone, brought into the family of God. Christian is in the world, yes, but not of the world. And a Christian trusts in Christ alone, not his own works, Christ alone. And a Christian has this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that is a Christian. And if you are a Christian here this morning, you have much to give thanks to God for. You may be feeling low for all kinds of reasons, but examine this and you say to yourself, this is me. This is what God has done for me. God has washed me in the blood of Jesus and brought me into his kingdom. And God has placed me in this world as a testimony. And God has granted me faith in Christ. And I know this personal relationship with Christ and it grows and I become more like him. The blessings of a Christian life, all given by grace from our Father in heaven. Praise God for the blessings we receive as Christians.